three places. In the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel chapter 4, reading one verse, which is verse 4. Then we'll go to chapter 9 of 2 Samuel. Then go from there to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 22, verse 24. 2 Samuel 4, 2 Samuel 9, and Luke 22, starting with 24. 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. Jonathan, son of Saul, had a son who was lame in both feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. His nurse picked him up and fled, but as she hurried to leave, he fell and became crippled. His name was Mephibosheth. Chapter 9, verse 9. Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and to bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet. Luke chapter 22, verse 24. Also, a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
you, Lord. Give him some praise in this house on today. Why you love me so.
Why you love me so, Lord, I shall never know.
Thank you, Jesus.
Why you love me so.
Why you love me so, Lord, I shall never know.
The precious Lamb
of God.
Oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh.
Come on, St. Paul.
Oh, 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 oh.
Why you love me so.
Why you love me so, Lord, I shall never know.
Why you love me so.
Why you love me so, Lord, I shall never know. The precious Lamb of God.
Thank you, Lord. Whom the Son sets free is truly free indeed. You are the precious Lamb. You are the precious Lamb. The precious Lamb of God. I can finish this race with your grace and your mercy. I can finish this race. Give him some praise, St. Paul.
Hallelujah. Lord, we're so grateful for your love. So very grateful. We declare, Lord Christ, that you reign over our hearts, and we so welcome you. We so welcome you. Grace us now, Holy Spirit of God, in the word of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. our time started out with us singing, Yes, God is Real. And our time together has just reinforced that God is real. My God. Tell you, I'm so happy in Jesus, I could about go home right now. I'm just so happy in Jesus. I am too through. Praise the Lord. But I want to share this little thought. That's from 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4, and then all of 2 Samuel chapter 9 is devoted to this story. And then over in the New Testament, Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 27. So let me just go back and let's just go back and get the verse from chapter 9 of 2 Samuel 9 and then go to Luke chapter 22. 2 Samuel 9. Verse 11. Then Ziba said to the king, Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. From Luke chapter 22, verse 26, but you And not to be like that, instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table, or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? The table, but I am among you as one who serves. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. Amen. At the table. At the table. Things can happen so quickly. There can be a swift turn of events. Sometimes also we can feel well prepared for something, only to find out that we weren't as prepared as we thought we were. It is possible to dress the part, have the language of the part, and the part not come to you. I don't know if you've had the experience of going and you look the part, have been prepared for the part. You can hold your own for the part. But when you get there, you don't get the part. seems as though there was some pre-screening that you are unaware of. Pre-screening. And I see that some of you know just what I'm talking about. You thought you would have a seat at the table, only to find out that there's no seat for you. Or if you are told, yes, there is a seat for you at the table, when it's time to be at the table, you show up only to find out the date has been changed. You're there on the wrong day. I'm sorry, something came up. Had to reschedule. Somebody had to go out of town. You understand. And no matter how hard you try, you never end up at the table. Well. Words of Langston Hughes, I too sing America. Langston Hughes said, I too sing America. He said, I am the darker brother. They tell me to eat in the kitchen when company comes, but I laugh, eat well, and grow strong. He said, tomorrow I'm gonna sit at the table. And no one will dare, oh my God, basically put me out because they'll see how beautiful I am and be ashamed. I too sing America. Poem speaks to the reality of what it means to be at a certain kind of a table. In our text today, there is a story of a young man, of a young man who is seated at King David's table. And he is seated not as a guest, but he is seated like he is a son. Oh my goodness. And this is very interesting. This is very, very interesting. And what's interesting about it is, see, the young man, the story tells us that there was something wrong with the young man's feet. We're not having foot washing after this, everybody be all right, but there was something wrong with the young man's feet. And so what had happened was that here is the son and the grandson of a king, and when word comes that his father and grandfather have both gone down in a defeat of battle on the same day, this young man's nurse, he's 5 years old at the time, his nurse picks him up and flees with him in order to protect him. But as she is running, she trips. And as a result of her tripping, the baby, oh my God, the five-year-old, his feet are changed for life. Were you dropped? Have you ever thought of yourself as having been dropped? Has anyone ever approached you in life as though you were dropped? As though there was something fundamentally that had been improperly set within you, and as a result, you were not able to experience life in as full a measure as other people. Does anyone understand what I'm talking about? You see, because he had been dropped, it meant that he would be dependent upon his nurse for help. Oh, my God. Many of us were dropped before we could ever spell the word, before we ever had a chance. And as a result of being dropped, we found ourselves living in a land called Lodebar. If you read all of chapter 9, it opens up by saying that where Mephibosheth is living is in a land called Lodebar. Somebody say Lodebar. Yeah, Lodebar. Right. David is now the king. He has, you know, taken the throne in place of Saul, who is the grandfather of this young man. And now some years have gone by, and he desires to be kind to the one with whom he had covenant relationship. Oh, my goodness. And so he asked the question, is there anybody from Saul's household? Is there anybody who is related to Jonathan, my friend, who's left, who I can be good to? And the news comes back. There is a young man who was dropped, and he's living in Lodebar. Well, the only problem is that Lodebar, the word Lodebar means pastureless. All right, so let me put it like this. Lodebar was the place where nothing was going on. Lodebar was the place where the forgotten people went. Oh, my God. Where the people that no one cared about would go to Lodebar. Nobody would ever look for you in Lodebar. Lodebar was the gutter's gutter. I can't get any help today. I want you to understand what I'm talking about. Nobody wanted to live in Lodebar. It was the sign that you were beneath. You were as far down as down could be to be in Lodebar. David finds out that the young man who would have been heir to the throne is living in Lodebar. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, my God. And you know what? There are many of us who believe that why we got stuck living in Lodebar for part of our lives was because there was something that was wrong with us. But I came to tell you that Lodebar, when your address is Lodebar, it's not because something's wrong with you. It's because the new administration feels threatened by your existence. Hey! Now, let me put it. I'm not exaggerating. All right. Let me put it like this. Have you ever heard the expression, a clean broom sweeps clean? Which means that when a new administration comes in, they like to sweep out the old. And so what would happen is when a new king would come, the new king would automatically kill off all of the heirs. You don't believe it? The instruction that David gave to his son Solomon was, I want you, basically, this is my summary, I want you to remember those who want to threaten you when you take the throne, and one of the first things I want you to do is kill them. Yeah. You weren't at the table because you were a threat to somebody at the table. You might have thought it's because I'm different this way, I'm different that way. We all have our uniquenesses, but I came to tell you, you are a child of the Most High God, and when God made you, God knew exactly what you would look like. God knew exactly what your capacity would be like. God had a purpose for you then. God has a purpose for you now. And God desires to use you here and there. Never underestimate how God wants to use you. I remember I had a, there was a, some years back, there was a seminarian. I was supposed to be supervisor some years ago, and that seminarian was doing a little summer work, you know, kind of, they come in and do a little summer work, you know, that kind of thing. And they were from a high and lifted up seminary, and we would have the greatest conversations, you know, the role of the supervisor, you have to have a meeting every week for at least 1 hour and you push the students theologically, and so I'm doing my push work and everything. And so finally the person said to me, well, where did you go to school? So I said, well, I went to school. And I didn't go to a school that's high and lifted up. You know what I'm saying? And the student looked at me and said, really? Then they came around with this curve. They said, wasn't that beneath you? And you know what I said to that student? With all the love I could muster. I was sitting behind my desk. My desk was the size of this right here, this pulpit. I had a great big desk, and four office windows. Four windows in my office, that ought to tell you something. I looked at the student, and I said, I'm on this side of the desk for a reason. You think I studied in Lodabar? You can think whatever you want. Never underestimate. Don't underestimate somebody because they came from a place you're not expecting. God has brilliant, equipped men and women who think in all kinds of ways. Creative energy is around this world. Don't ever underestimate somebody because of what they look like. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Hey! I should have told that student, you should remember I'm writing your evaluation. Mephibosheth was in Lodabar.
Yes, Lord, yes.
David said, that's all right. My covenant isn't with a place. My covenant is with a person. I'm not concerned about places and reputations. I'm not concerned whether as to whether that's a high crime area or not. I'm not concerned, but all I know is David's son, my Jonathan's son is there, and I want to be good to him. Go get him. So they brought him to where the king was. I don't know if he had been trained how to eat, etiquette and all, you know, I don't know. But etiquette or not, he was at the table. Etiquette or not, he was at the table. And I like the fact that this is a foretaste of Jesus. The disciples, God bless them, got to arguing. Which one has the greatest profile? Oh, you don't hear me. Which one of us is going to be invited to do our own interview on 60 Minutes? Which one of us is going to be, who's going to be it? I can imagine now. I can imagine how Peter, James, and John would say, well, it should be us because we specialize in hard cases when there was illness and nobody else had the faith. We had the faith and Jesus would take us in. We knew how to lock in agreement with the master so people could be delivered from sickness and bondage. We know we all that. I can imagine Matthew saying, y'all be quiet. You don't know what a hard case is. I'm the one who knows how to do evangelism with a crooked system. I'm the one who knows how to work with tax collectors and folks who've been robbing folks for years. I'm the one who designed a dinner party for all the crooked workers to come in so Jesus could have an audience. I know what it is to work with hard cases. I should be first. I'm the greatest. Yes, Lord. Yes. Jesus said, now they all at the table. Jesus said, who's the greatest? The one at the table or the one serving? And you know, it was then like it is now, where you're seated at the table. Spoke to how important you were. Oh my God. You know, the Bible does say that it's better to be invited up than to be invited down. In other words, it's better to not get carried away with yourself and walk in the door, walk in with your invisible entourage. And make your way to the front and want all of us to recognize that you're here. Jesus says the one at the table is the one who's important. And he says, I am the one who's serving you. Oh, if you want to be great, you really want to be great. What it means to be great is to see what will feed another person's life. If you want to be great, greatness is to ensure that everybody has a seat at the table. They might have been dropped here and dropped there, but when somebody else drops them, you are there to lift them up and ensure that they get their fair share. Because God is concerned that everybody has their basic needs met. Everybody's got to have a roof over their head and one that doesn't leak somebody. Everybody ought to have a meal. Everybody ought to be treated with decency.
Yes, Lord. Yes, yes.
You know, there's a shoe company. And this particular company, if you buy one of their shoes, you buy a pair of theirs, they give a pair of their own shoes. Y'all, you hear what I'm saying? You buy, for every pair you buy, they give. What am I saying? What I'm trying to say is don't wait for our missionaries to have it dry. Don't wait for the stewards to have it dry. What it means to be at God's table is to when you go about to have somebody else in your heart, it means that when you're reaching for your black eyed peas, you reach for one for yourself and one for somebody you've never met. It means when you're reaching for your cornbread, you reach for cornbread for yourself and cornbread for somebody else. Y'all don't hear me. It means that you feed yourself and somebody else, make a place at the table in your own heart for somebody else. With this, I'm through. There's a lady, I've been knowing her for a good spell. Her name is Barbara Rogers. Barbara Rogers. Barbara Rogers has been, she was a cook. She was a cook at a facility. But what Barbara Rogers would do, Barbara Rogers would come up to you and say, I got a little something for you. Got a little something for you. I said, well, all right. You gonna be around? Uh-huh. She said, if you don't see me, I'll leave it for you. I said, all right. Go back. It's a great big shopping bag. Sometime two bags. And in that shopping bag, there'd be toilet paper, paper towels, laundry detergent, Kleenex. Y'all don't hear me. You know what I'm talking about? And Barbara Rogers, she'd always say, I go to the store with my coupons. But Barbara Rogers didn't do this for one person. Barbara Rogers would have bag after bag after bag that she would give out. Did she have, was she wealthy? She wasn't wealthy. You don't hear what I'm saying. Oh, you don't hear. Barbara Rogers wasn't grand and wasn't living quote unquote large, but in her heart she was always making a space for somebody else. And so God kept feeding and providing for her as she fed and provided for somebody else. And that is how we ought to live at all times. Open our hearts to one another, for God has first opened his heart to us. For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, and that life includes room at the table. We fellowship now on this side, but there's a table on the other side. Hallelujah! There's a table on the other side where we will feast with Jesus himself. Cares all pass. Home at last ever to rejoice. But it starts with opening our hearts to Christ and accepting the space he has made for us in his heart and at the table. Lord, we thank you today and we honor you for the privilege it is to be invited to know you. Thank you for covenant. You don't care where we live, whether it's in or out of Lodibar. You don't care about the externals or whatever, God. You are just waiting for us. as David reached out for Mephibosheth, so you reach out for us too. And so, God, we yield to you in this hour. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? The doors of the church are open. As you stand, you may be here and you've never said yes to Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. If you haven't done that, you're eating by yourself. You don't know what it means to receive His grace and His love. You don't know what it is to have your sins forgiven. I want to invite you to come to Jesus Christ just as you are. Or you may be looking for a church home. If that's you, I want to invite you to come and be a part of St. Paul. If you're here, just step right on out. We'd love to have you. Is there one? Are you here? I want to say yes to Jesus Christ. I want to unite with this church. I want to join this church. Be a member here. Why don't you come forward? We'll meet you. We'll meet you right in the aisle, wherever you are.